I've got the perfect question to open up the episode for the intro to keep people listening.
Mm-hmm.
Meg, can you describe what it's like to be in Doctor Who in one word?
Were you in Doctor Who?
I think.
Were you in Doctor Who?
It was just this person standing outside the helicopter, and when I was watching, I went, I think that's me.
Was it AI that used your face without permission?
I didn't get any royalties or anything. Like, I was like, what's going on? Surreal.
And you can find out more in this episode of Who's There, a Doctor Who podcast. Roll the intro.
Hello and welcome back to Who's There, a Doctor Who podcast, the show where 1, 2, 3, 4 WhoTubers talk about the best show in all of time and space, Doctor Who. I'm one of your hosts, Crispy Pro, and joining me, as always, is Troy Red Archer Live. How are you, sir?
Hello, I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. And we also have the privilege of DW 2012's finest, Luke and Meg. How are we today?
Oh, good, thank you.
Good, yeah, good. Really good.
Welcome to the podcast today. It's an absolute honor to have you. And Troy has been like teasing me for a while saying, oh, these are going to be some good guests to have for the 60th. And I was like, what do you mean by that? What do you mean? They have some of the best fan films in the game, of course. What do you mean by that? But as Troy kind of revealed in the bombshell revelation at the start, Meg, you were actually in the 60th special.
I was.
Star of the show. Star of the show.
That is absolutely.
What about Meg?
I cannot believe that. I'm sure we'll get into that for a second. But Troy, what are we doing today? What's hip hop happening?
We've got a lot to talk about. We've had some news. Surprisingly, even though we only spoke at the time of recording one day ago, we've had the big revelation of the 15th Doctor Sonic Screwdriver being revealed. So we're going to be talking about that shortly. We're going to be looking back on the 60th anniversary specials, giving our overall thoughts on them, looking ahead to the Christmas special, talking about Meg being in Doctor Who, just give her an ego trip for about 5 or 10 minutes.
What?
And then because these two, it's going to be an ongoing joke here and I love it. And because these two are both, as we've said, known for being in DW 2012, Luke playing the Little Red Doctor, and also because he can't get away from it, then directing it after he left, he's got to have his hand on the wheel somehow. And also Meg playing the companion still, Megan Williams, both of them have got a lot to say about Time Crisis and Series 5 that's been in the works and ongoing for a while now, and there's only one episode left to go, so we'll be talking about that as well. There's a lot to say, but yeah, so I said this last night, Megan kind of like nudged me, because we can say that you showed me the trailer for Time Crisis, like when I was there with you, like you showed us that, and I was like, right, we need to talk about this when it comes out, we need to have you on the podcast, promote that. And then Meg, she was very, I mean, like, this is what happens when you're an actor. She was very kind of subtle and went, wait till after the 60th as well. I was like, why? She went, just wait. I was like, okay, well, why don't I have you on to talk after the 60th specials? And then obviously we watched the episode and then I get a message on my phone, like, did you just see who was by the helicopter? And I looked and went, huh? And then I've gone back and realized, by the way, you're in the trailer, aren't you, as well?
Yeah. Yeah. The back of my head. I lost it when I saw that.
So yeah. How on earth do you keep that secret? Because that's what we got to ask first. Like, how do you keep that secret from people?
I mean, there's an NDA you have to sign. You know, it's a bit official.
Relatable, yeah, you know. Yours is cooler than mine, though.
It's tempting, obviously, to sort of tell people that when people are talking about it, you're like, oh, I know who's in it, or I know who's back. It's obviously, I knew that Mel was back as well. And you see all, like, the leaks and everything coming out, and you're like, I know that's... And the set that I filmed on was leaked as well. There was like a drone shot and someone flew over.
Unit helipad that Crispy has been in love with for a year.
It's been an ongoing joke, Meg, just like how much like in love I am with the unit helipad, just like as a concept. It's my favorite thing in all of Doctor Who.
Don't know why.
And the fact that you have been on it. You're one of the few people that have been on it. That's unreal.
I didn't know how much of the episode was actually set on there. Like,
yeah,
well, I was only there for a section of it, but like obviously the whole regeneration scene, I was like, I did not know that was on the helipad. I was like, imagine if that drone went over during that. Can you imagine? I was like, but whenever I saw that,
that is a good point.
When I saw that the set leaked, I was like, I was standing there. That's where I was. It's under a code name. Like, you don't get booked for Doctor Who. You get booked under Bang Studios for this certain code name. And then when they sent through this like information you have to sign beforehand, it had the word who on it. I could kind of work it out in terms of, like, because things I sent through beforehand, which I couldn't do, end up being, like, the unit street scenes and stuff, because they had to have people with, like, firearms experience to be the troopers for Star Beach, yeah.
Oh.
And then it's the name, like, code name. So I was like, found out that was Doctor Who, so I was like, that must be Doctor Who. Well, I got booked and everything, and they sent that through. I was like, it actually is Doctor Who. I was like, oh my god, this is insane.
You had no idea what it would be.
Absolutely no idea.
I mean, you could have just been like, just in the background with side characters.
So you really had no idea of the scene, of the context, or whatever. You kind of up, and they gave you a uniform.
I got told, like,
and we're like, all right.
Yeah, I got told it was kind of like a soldier kind of role. And then it's only when I got there, I was like, oh my god, this is unit. This is like, the uniform I wore had the unit sign on it, had like the hat, which was way too big for me, so they had to kind of tuck it and make it smaller to fit on my head.
Your head got bigger as you went along, though, so it wasn't a problem, right?
Probably. COVID restrictions that was obviously still in place back then, so we had to get COVID tested. And then, so we're like, I mean, everyone's just kind of the same when you go to a set. So we're just all queuing up, and I was like, David Tennant's standing behind me in the queue just to get like a COVID test done. It was just casual. It was just really weird. I was like, no one else noticed, and I was like, this is David Tennant. He had like a mask on, and he had like a cap on, and I was like,
unreal. Can I ask, like, when this was in 2022?
June last year.
June.
In a year and a half.
Right.
And you've been hanging onto it.
So it was known to the public that David was back and Catherine were back, right?
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, it was already announced.
They were announced, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. It was all announced.
Unreal.
It's crazy to think it was announced that long ago, wasn't it?
Mm.
It was a while ago. Now it's all over, Red Rover.
Yeah. Because it was like, I think it was episode 14 for us that Shooty was announced as the Doctor, and we're on 89 tonight, so. It's
crikey.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, just like that puts it in perspective, doesn't it?
It's been a hot minute.
It really has. It really has.
Hot minute.
Okay, so we've got a lot more to talk about, but I think we need to do our weekly feature, Crispy. You know what it is.
Oh.
We have a special theme.
Do
as
we
well.
Just. Oh, here we go. 3, 2, 1. If it's going to work, which it probably won't. If it's going to work, which it probably won't. Here we go.
Oh, we go.
It's poll time.
It is indeed poll time. So every week we have a poll, Luke and Meg, and we've been doing for the last couple of weeks polls on people's thoughts on The Giggle. We keep it nice and simple. They either like it, they don't mind it, or they don't like it. And we haven't had as many votes this week because it's only been overnight. But I have to say, pulling 449 votes overnight on YouTube is pretty mental. Actually, no, it's not overnight.
We'll take that.
Because I put it up at midday. It's in 9.5 hours. So that is brilliant. So thank you all, everyone. So they're the options again. I liked it, didn't mind it, didn't like it. And you know what? Normally I ask Crispy what he thinks the outcome's going to be. I'm going to ask you two. What percentage of our audience do you think liked the episode? What do you think the percentage is going to be?
Ooh.
I would say a solid 78.
Okay.
It's a good
Meg,
guess.
You want to raise him? You want to lower him? What are you thinking? Are you going to agree? Solidarity.
80, don't go one over me.
82.
82.
Crispy, you want to add one in?
83.
Crispy wins. 85% liked it.
Whoa!
Out of the YouTube audience. Followed by 12% on didn't mind and 4% on didn't like. On audio, very, very similar. 73.3% liked it. So Luke, you win there. 20% on didn't mind and 6.7% on didn't like. So the majority still liked the episode. And I would be intrigued to know, if we can bring up the comparison very quickly, what if we look at the percentages for liked on each of the episodes for the 60th, just see what the highest number is, because this will be part of an interesting debate. Okay.
Here we go.
Ooh. All right. So, final set votes. So 86% liked the Star Beast, 88% liked Wild Blue Yonder, and 85% liked the Giggle. So Wild Blue Yonder wins in terms of audience view on YouTube. Intriguing.
I don't find that surprising. But we can get into that.
Which does actually lead us quite nicely. And while we want to talk about all the specials, let's deal with the hot one to begin with. The Giggle. What did you two think of it?
He should go first because I'm biased.
Yeah. I do need to rewatch it because obviously I've only seen it once, but no, I did like it. Yeah. Had nice moments.
Okay. Meg, aside from your bias then?
No, I did.
Best episode ever.
Yeah.
yeah.
earlier and actually kind of properly paid attention. And no, I actually, yeah, I thought it was really good. I really liked the Toymaker in it, even though I kind of thought he was a bit underused, I think. I was like, I wanted to see more of the Toymaker.
Yeah.
Yeah, my only issue with the episode was the length. I think it just could have easily been a longer episode. It could have been more like Power Length, and I think it would have benefited from it.
Yeah, which would have saw the Toymaker doing more messed up stuff.
German accents.
Yeah, what he was meant to be doing. But
not of him playing with sea balls. I don't know whose accent was worse, his or mine.
But yeah, no, I completely agree. I think all the stuff in the Toymaker realm and even, like, you know, the Spice Up Your Life bit was amazing. But I also like, you know, him turning everyone into little bouncy balls and the petals coming out of the guns. I would have loved to have seen more of that trippy stuff as well, I think. So whilst it was good, probably could have had some more. But, I mean, you know, we're greedy Doctor Who fans, aren't we, sometimes?
We are. We are. But you gave the episode a 7.5 last night, Crispy, and I still think that...
Yeah.
Might be a little bit lower than I expected. Has that changed at all overnight, or are you still sat on that?
Not at all. I think that's fair. That's like a solid B+, you know?
Imagine giving David Tennant a B+. How dare you? That's why I'm the one who had a cake eaten with him and not you, because I wouldn't dare give him a B+.
Oh my goodness. Yes, everyone's had some kind of interaction with David Tennant. Very
That's
good.
What's funny though, because Meg said that a minute ago about how, like, she had to watch the episode properly today. Like, that must have been weird watching Doctor Who, knowing what was coming, because that was kind of like me with Limitless Swim, where I was like, couldn't really focus. It's like, I know what's coming in a minute, and I don't know why I felt really weird. So I can kind of see what you mean.
Yeah, it's when they released the clip of, like, the chaos in the street and that sort of stuff, and then the unit like came in the helicopter, and I was like, hang on, it's the scene that I was in directly after that.
Yep.
And then we watched it, and then it literally, I saw the helicopter and I was like, hang on, I was like, oh my god.
And start hyperventilating. Oh my god.
No.
I said at least you didn't get turned into a bouncy ball. No.
So yeah.
I did think, I was like, is there any other scenes where, like, you're gonna be in the background or something after you sent me that? I was like, you're gonna pop up again, like the latter half, like anywhere at all. Like, I was looking, like, with eagle eyes, thinking she could be, like, in a corner or something.
I think I made my escape. I was like, nah, I'm done.
They realised that you were already in DW 2012, and they went, oh, she can't compete. That's it now.
It's me
who
picked up the gold tooth at the end.
Yeah.
So.
Hang on, just show us your nails for the camera. Are they red?
Confirmed.
I took it off, you see, because I'm trying to, you know.
Yeah,
wrap, so.
keep it on the low. Yeah, no, that's good. I can't believe we just solved that mystery, you know, not 24 hours after the episode.
Watch Time
guys,
Crisis,
we've got the exclusive
part two,
Troy.
And all the questions will be solved.
By the credit scenes, Meg painting her nails red.
Oh my god, yeah. Imagine. Like, just thinking that now, I'm going to go out and film that tomorrow.
Yeah, that's brilliant. That is absolutely brilliant.
Oh, fantastic.
So, you two, hang on. Troy, I've got a question for these two.
Have you? What is your question?
While we're talking about the giggle, Troy makes us do this thing where, before we've, like, really properly dissected or discussed the episode, he asks you what rating, your initial rating of the episode is out of 10. Yes. So, can I ask both of you what your initial rating out of 10 is for the giggle?
8.5.
Hmm. Oh.
Mine would be an eight.
Nice. Nicely done. Troy? Oh, he's having a sip of his drink.
I refuse to comment.
Do you think that's too low?
I've gone up from a 9 to a 10, so let's swiftly
Yours
move on.
Yours is a 10.
I literally have no issues with the episode other than it not being long enough, and I don't think, like, that's enough to rob it. Yeah, I know one of your big problems was you felt like it was quite, like, almost anticlimactic to have the bi-generation, and it's just, oh, they're throwing a ball around, but I felt like that was perfect.
Yeah.
I thought that was, like, just exactly what it needed for the Toymaker, keeping it simple. I think the bi-generation, mm-hmm. I don't think it's as much of a problem as people think, and I do think I'm probably in a very small club of people who like the Timeless Child and the bi-generation at the same time, but I just kind of look at it as an isolated incident. You know, it's not going to keep happening in the future. It's a chance to give the Doctor a chance to deal with the trauma that he's had. And also, realistically, you think about it, it kind of ties into iPlayer having Doctor Who 2005 to 2022. It bookends that whole section of Doctor Who. A lot of names get dropped. It's all about healing from that and moving on and then starting a new era. And I honestly think it works in every way it needed to. So Maybe I'm just too positive, but you know what?
Fair enough. Luke and Meg, your thoughts on that? What are your thoughts on the bi generation? I'm curious to pick your brains.
Did you know about it beforehand? That's important to ask that first.
Yeah, I did.
I tried not to.
Yeah.
And then I went to Comic-Con,
and me and Jack were there, and Jack said the split, Meg went, oh, is this? I was like, oh, dear.
I'm so glad I didn't go to
Comic-Con with you then. I was going to go to the same Comic-Con for the record, dear listeners, but the trains got cancelled, so I didn't end up going, and I was very upset because I wanted to see you both again.
I did forget about it, though, when I watched it. And then when the regeneration, like, disappeared...
I instantly knew. I was like, he's still wearing his waistcoat. This isn't it. Because shoot, he's just wearing
his tie. This isn't happening.
Yeah. And when he said, he went, pull. And I was like, huh? Then I went, oh, wait. This is it. And then it clicked. Yeah, I totally forgot, other than that.
See, now, I'm straight in the middle. Like, part of me really likes it, and part of me really doesn't. And I can't decide where I am, just because I feel like so much has happened to the Doctor in the last 10 years. Like, he's had a new regeneration cycle. Mm-hmm. He's turned into a woman, which was a big revelation for Doctor Who. They turned out to be the Timeless Child.
Yeah.
And then they can do a five regeneration. I'm like, it'd just be nice if the Doctor wasn't so important all the time, and if he was just like madman in a box again.
He's meant to be mysterious, isn't he?
Just feel like it was another change after so much change as well. So I'm like, he might need time to sort of digest. Maybe.
That's well put.
Yeah.
That's well put. It is like it's huge. It's a big thing, and I think it will be a talking point for years to come. Maybe with not as much contention as the Timeless Child per se, but I think I don't know. It's two sides of the same coin, isn't it? Because I think, you know, especially you guys as like Doctor Who fan content creators, I think, like, you know, the idea of kind of exploring regeneration and what that means, and I don't know, with bi generation, I think it almost took away from the whole death aspect of regeneration. I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, departure suddenly feels underwhelming all of a sudden. Like, they're going for the whole that every doctor now lives out there somewhere, which was something that Russell mentioned on Instagram.
He did.
He put it in the commentary, yeah. I wonder if he was just trying to have a bit of a tool around and wasn't being serious, because that, like...
Yeah.
I mean, you would have seen it happen if they actually had the bi generations. I think he's probably just stretching that a bit for the sake of Whoniverse. I could say it.
Yeah, like, each Doctor is technically still out there travelling because they can travel in time. Like,
exactly.
The 11th Doctor could just turn up randomly if he wanted to. So, like,
and that's yet he didn't.
Not these specials, though.
No. It's already a thing. And I don't know, like, I kind of feel like the bi regeneration thing, it kind of complimented the Timeless Child in a way, because I know, like, the whole thing to do with, like, 14 was feeling really, like, lost and didn't know who, you know, the whole Timeless Child thing and basically the revelation that when he found out about that. And then, like, what does 15 say about, isn't kind of rehab out
We're
of order?
We're doing rehab out of order.
And it's kind of like they kind of split, and then he managed to sort of... Then he actually, like, let go of kind of being the Doctor-ish. He kind of just stayed on Earth. Mm. In a way, it's kind of, like, a bit of a kind of ending for him, if that makes sense. I don't know. It's a way for kind of a bit more of a refresh for Shuri to then go off and kind of be the Doctor's fresh.
Yeah, it's just, like, what Matt said, he's made a good point. That it would have been nice in the two specials before... If there were hints that the Doctor suddenly feeling a bit sort of like, I'm getting a bit worn out, I'm getting a bit tired, like, that would have been nice.
That's it. That is it.
Oh, I don't agree. Yeah, I don't agree.
It's so true. It should have been I'm going to have a debate with Troy here and use you guys as evidence to back up. I think that would have been so much more of a payoff. Give us, two scenes, one in the Star Beast, one in Wild Blue Yonder, that plays on the fact that, you know, the Doctor is worn out, and, you know, this face has come back as almost a reminder of exactly, what you were saying, what has happened in the past, you know, 10, 15 years, or however many years for the Doctor. And that they're like, I need to like kind of retire, because this would have been some way to retire the Doctor whilst also, you know, kind of handing the baton to Shooty.
Yeah.
So the ending, I said this in my review I'm trying to upload, but it keeps getting copyright struck, YouTube, is that the ending almost feels earned. It almost feels earned, but I don't think it does, and it still feels kind of jarring. Okay. And Troy doesn't agree with me. I could see your face.
Can I just remind you that Capaldi did not realise why he'd been given his face until it was literally made quite obvious to him in The Girl Who Died? Like, 14 realises because the companions have told him, like, sometimes the best things are revealed via the companions. He doesn't have to realise it himself. The companion's there to be like, look, let me tell you the thing that you can't see. You're so clever, but you're missing what's right in front of your face. Like, I think that works better.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, Donna says to him, you know why you got your old face back? It's your body saying to you, you need to have a break. You can't keep up. You need to, like, just have a rest.
I miss that.
I do.
I've only watched the episode once.
If this had came directly after the 12th Doctor, I think that would have worked perfectly. Because obviously, 12 at the end of his life, he said, I can't keep going on being somebody else. Like, the man was tired.
You didn't get that from
the Doctor.
No, like Jodie was sort of like she was energy, pure energy all the time. So it just would have been nice if they just sort of hinted at the whole, you know, I'm getting a bit worn out now.
Maybe he is feeling that, but just trying not to show it. Especially at the start of the giggle when they're having the conversation in 1920s in Soho, and like Donna was saying a lot of things that was kind of like, you know, you get to the point where you're going to have to chill out, and you could tell he was kind of just trying to like ignore it, like a kid being scorned by a parent. I think he was already beginning to realise it there, and was just like, he wasn't ready to deal, like to actually accept it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think, yeah, sure, Troy, but I think it was
Crispy, very I've always been right.
Subtle. I think it, no, he's got a giggle in his head.
See, I did
he's
that.
Got a giggle in
See,
his
I
head.
Did that. See, I did
oh,
that.
No. Deary me. But yeah. I don't know. It was fine, and I'm sure I'll watch the episode 5 more times and be like, this is the greatest piece of media ever. But for now, I'm still, like, the first 40 minutes I think are near perfect. Such a fun Doctor Who adventure. But just, yeah, as soon as we get to the bi-generation, I just think it kind of loses loses the appeal for me. But that's just me.
Just going to mute him for a second. Hang on. There we go. Muted Crispy. Go on, you guys carry on.
Mention that the last 3 Doctors have all been shot by lasers.
And the last 2 both by red lasers, so...
Gildy got mowed down by a laser. Capaldi got shot by a Cyberman laser. And then 14 shot by a laser.
I did like how that came out the
book. Wow.
Yeah. The only gripe with that is that I'd wish they'd burnt the costume a bit.
Yeah.
Man had a hole through him.
It was a bit weird, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen the commentary as well? Because there is a midnight connection to the beam. I don't know if Crispy won't notice, but I don't know if you two had heard it.
Oh, no.
It's called a galvanic beam because and they send the commentary like, where's the other word? Time you've heard the word galvanic. And it's like, oh, midnight. It's galvanic rays from the sun that melt you as soon as you like go outside. So there's a callback
cheeky
for you.
Cheeky Easter egg.
Mm. So that beam like shattered glass, unlike. Everything else.
Shot a satellite down, which I still think they could have just turned it off.
Didn't do anything.
They didn't need to break.
Yeah.
Let's plug the satellite. And I was sat there, I was like, can't they just switch it off?
Control alt delete.
No, this is a high tech satellite. It doesn't have an on off switch.
No, the thought of everything else bar that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's a very good point.
Exactly.
That's a very good point.
Come on.
Mm.
Well, not just so we managed to still talk about the 60th as a whole before we move on, because we still got the Christmas special and the Sonic to talk about. Got a lot to do. And you've got to promote Time Crisis. Got quite a bit. Oh. What did you think of the 60th as a whole, overall, as a package? Score out of 10, overall thoughts on the episodes. What are your thoughts?
I liked it. Yeah. I thought it was right. Because obviously, 60 years isn't such a big anniversary compared to like the 50th or the 75th. And I'm kind of glad I didn't do multi-doctors just because... Where Same. I stand with multi-doctors. I'm 100%. Like, it didn't need it. We've seen it before. What new could you add to it? So I think, yeah, I was quite happy with what we got in the end.
Yeah, me too. It kind of made it like a whole month of celebration rather than just like a 50th special. And then like obviously the 60th come along and we got 3 specials, all the Tales and the TARDIS stuff. It felt like it kind of celebrated everything. And then if you weren't fans of like the classics or anything like that, like it was kind of for everyone, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then like the whole collection of the Daleks and stuff, which was really good. I did like it. And I felt the episodes were right even though I wish we had 14 for longer.
Yeah, I've said that I wish we had at least 6. Or if there was space for the year.
Chris, you know what I'm going to ask them, don't you?
What?
What I asked you last night, and you vehemently, or however you say the word, disagreed with me. Luke and Meg, do you think there's going to be a 14 spin-off down the line?
No.
Am I really on my own
Thank
on this?
Thank you, Luke.
I want this.
Thank you, Luke.
No. I'd like there to be. But I don't know.
Luke, explain why there wouldn't be.
Yeah, I mean, if he's tired and then he just comes back and does more travelling, it kind of undermines the story that he's retired.
But he is doing that, though, isn't he?
He's going Gunner did off- say to him, you don't have to stay here forever, and he said, we'll see. Like, he said he'd never been happier, but it doesn't mean he's going to be like that forever.
Yeah, I've had roommates who have stayed there, and they stayed there for 2 years. No,
okay, so maybe he'll stay there for 2 years, and then he'll fly off and get some rent.
Maybe.
I'm just saying, they went to a great deal of effort to give him a TARDIS that looks the exact same as the one they're still using, and therefore doesn't create them any set problems. That's the thing. Like, because Crispy went to compare it to Journey's End, and I was like, "Yeah, fair." And he was like, "Well, they didn't delete the scene this time. The TARDIS." It's like, "Yeah, they didn't, because they didn't, like, last time with Journey's End. They were like, let's not set up anything here that won't be followed up on. Let's not give him a piece of TARDIS. Let's just have that as a finale." Whereas this time, we're piece of TARDIS, forget that. Let's just get a second one right off the bat. Boom, done. Like, if he was going to settle down and there was no chance of him coming back, why give him a TARDIS? Yeah, he's going to sulk over it, but he's sulked over worse before. He'd get over it.
What is it with Tennant live with his companions?
Yeah, everyone gets a Tennant.
Like Rose. Rose has got a Tennant.
Can I have a Tennant?
Martha's there, like, I'm waiting for my Tennant. Where's mine?
Poor Martha.
I don't think she'd want one. Some people saying that, but I think she was glad to get out, you know? She pulled a Daniel Kaluuya. That was it. She's all done.
Yeah.
All done, skis.
Thank you. Thank you. I was quite proud of that joke.
And also, the fact they built up that Catherine, Donna now works for UNIT on $120,000 a year with 5 weeks holiday.
Yeah, I want that.
That's pretty good.
But it does mean if the UNIT special's real, that you could have 14 front it or have at least play a part in it with Donna.
Did say that the UNIT one isn't actually true.
But what if that's because it's not about UNIT and it's about 14 and it features UNIT? I love watching Crispy squirm about this. He really does not like this at all.
Well, I think it would be a strange thing for Tennant's career to be like the Doctor in the main show, and then for him to be like, I'm going to front one of the spin-off shows that probably has less pay and less viewership around the world.
I don't think he cares about either of those things. He cares about Wizzy Sonic Screwdriver.
I mean, he loves Doctor Who. Yeah, of course. But I mean, I don't know. I could see him being in the UNIT spin-off show, but I don't think he'd lead it. That's going to be Gemma Redgrave. But apparently it might not happen. Who knows? We'll just get the Sea Devil show and David Tennant can have that.
Oh, God. Whatever. With better sword fights, hopefully.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it plays out. But yeah, so out of 10 for the entirety of the 60th special, Star Beast, Wild Blue Yonder, and The Giggle, out of 10, you two, what would you give it?
I'm going to say a 9.
9.5.
Oh, very, very good.
Yeah.
Troy?
I should say 9.5, like, for lore of averages, because I give Wild Blue Yonder and Giggle a 10, and the Star Beast like an 8.5 or a 9. But, like, as a package overall, I don't really know what else more I could have had from that. Like, when all is said and done now, as Luke said, I'm glad that it's not a multi-doctor story. Like, it is technically, but a different kind. And that was, like, half his idea for the bi-generation, which I love. I don't... Like, in my head, I'm like, if I haven't got ways to improve it, does it deserve less than a 10? I'm like, probably not. So I might just sit on a 10 and be, like, the most positive person ever. So there you go.
We'll see.
Be a bit more positive. What was I'm still thinking about that comment you got in the live chat yesterday. I can't remember what it was. Someone saying that you're being like way too negative.
I can't.
And you gave it a 7.5. What exactly
they
mean?
They said I was no. That's I don't know. I just think I've seen better episodes. But as a whole,
from DW 2012.
I think. Yeah, exactly. Also, I think I'll give my rating right after this. But I think we should probably tell the audience who might not know who DW 2012 are. what do you guys do? Because you guys have some of the best fan films in the game. I was just showing Troy a clip from my channel of like 10 years ago, and you guys had 5 episodes.
Yeah, he was
out
very positive,
at the time,
completely positive.
And I was like, oh, I just said I can show you the clip if you want.
Oh, don't, because I'll have to edit it in. Just link it or something.
Oh, okay. All right. God forbid Troy has to edit.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I think, I don't know. I've been a fan of you guys for ages. And I think your fan films are like the best in the game. But yeah, please, to the people who don't know, give us a 10-second spiel. What are you guys up to?
We do Doctor Who fan films. Yeah. Just in a nutshell, yeah. We just have a lot of fun. We pretend to be the Doctor.
We're on series 5 at the moment.
Oh, you're going into the logistics.
Please. Your child.
Man plays Little Red Doctor up until the end of series 4. And then you become the writer and director, script editor, prop maker, every single thing possible. And I just come back to act in it.
I get the stress and you get the fun.
I get the fun part. yeah, and then we have one more episode to come out.
We're at the end of Series 5 now.
Time Crisis, part 2.
Ended on a cliffhanger and came out the weekend of the 60th itself, which was very exciting.
Yeah.
So what's to come? Can you offer any teases, like a recap for anyone? I mean, without spoiling too much, can you give us a taste of what's to come in the finale? Anything you can say?
Wow. What's to come is obviously well, chaos. Everyone's been time erased, haven't they? So yeah, it's just
Crispy's not seen it. What?
What's gonna happen? Nothing. What's gonna happen?
There's no doctor, no companion.
I haven't finished the episode, so I didn't know the cliffhanger.
I apologize.
No, I was like, gosh, I got these guests on tomorrow, and but it was like almost 1 a.m. by the time I started watching. So I was like, I'll just have to go in. So I apologize. I have been the biggest fan of yours for ages.
Crispy, you don't need to apologize. Need to remind you, I went to their party and went, by the way, I've not seen series 5. Like, I win in that competition, okay?
Yeah. But
yeah, fine.
I can say, I'm not saying anything, because you said this, I have a bit of an idea of what you two have got coming, and it is phenomenal. What they're doing with the finale is... I almost wish you hadn't told me a lot of it, because I kind of want to... I'm excited to see it play out, but... I'm excited to see what you've said verbally translate on screen, because you're evil. You're evil. You're brilliant and you're evil, basically.
The last part is like the final journey of this team TARDIS. It's a painful journey, a tense journey, a roller coaster of a ride.
Any other word?
Yeah.
We did. Yeah, it's quite...
It's all over the place, like...
It gets deep.
And, yeah, it goes deep. Like, we breadcrumbed throughout all of Series 5, and no one's clicked on to all the things that we've laid up. And there's a part in the episode where it's literally the bow coming together on, like, a gift. Like, it tied it up so beautifully. And to see everything, like, the flashback sequence where you see everything linking up.
It's one of the things when, like, after it, if you rewatch like the whole series, you go, oh my god,
we've been witnessing the finale this whole time.
And it's of course, like, you had this all planned out, like, we've been watching this for five years.
Have it all planned out, and your brain keep everything like... so secret. Yeah, and
you plan stuff out is insane.
Yeah.
He doesn't write anything down. He tells me ideas. He kind of runs ideas, like, you just randomly, you have these little pings in your head, and you run it by me, and I'm like, this is good, you should write it down. He's like, I don't need to. And he just stores it up there.
It's in there.
Never forget, no.
Ever, no.
But Series 5 ends on a even bigger cliffhanger to the one it ended in Part 1.
Yep. He told me this bit at the party, and I was like, do I want you to tell me this? I don't know. It's good. Yeah, it's very good.
I know everyone will hate me for it, but like...
Careful what you say.
Oh, I know.
Because people are going to ask what comes next then, and then you're going to be like, oh...
It's like, if I write something that has a reaction to people, then I've written something that people genuinely care about.
Mm.
And that's what I'm going for.
Smart.
Well put. Well
Crispy,
put.
What do you think the cliffhanger's going to be? Take a guess.
It's Five syllables. By generation. That's what it is.
Yeah, I just
I've got it.
They actually stole the concept. Yeah, Meg mentioned it to David while she was on set, going,
"Yeah,
by the way,
exactly.
You seen our films? We're gonna have a by generation." He goes, "That's pretty good, that Russell."
Oh, that's good. Get Shooty here, yeah. Stat.
But RTD was there on that day, so.
Oh. Oh.
Oh.
Oh.
You had
it.
You had tiles on the crane.
Had tiles on the crane. Yeah, because there was loads of leaks going around like at that time, and David got his phone out and took a photo of the TARDIS on like coming down the crane, like, and then one of the crew members came up to going, "That's it, that's the leak from the main guy himself," and just started taking photos of like the set on the helipad. He's like, "No, this is cool. It's such a cool set."
He's just giving them to Georgia. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
So so just in case people have missed out, where can they check out all of the episodes for DW 2012?
On our YouTube channel, as you've just pointed out, DW 2012.
Dynamic Works 2012.
Yeah.
The longer title.
2012.
Yeah.
And we're on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Go
and check them
Highly
out.
Highly recommend.
Time Crisis Part 2. What's the current window you said? Is it early next year for the next episode?
Early next year, yes.
Exciting.
Yeah, there's so much that goes on with it. Like, I want it to be perfect.
Yeah, definitely.
So.
Yeah, and what after that? Then? What next? When's Crispy in it?
After that, I'm going to be returning to the remastered series and work on that. And then, obviously, I have future plans. I have all my plans laid out up until 2028.
The man is just...
That was Kevin the face Feige I pulled who? When he said that to me as well. I was like, what?
Yeah, I know when everything's coming. I know when the spin-offs are coming out. I know, and everything is coming. Everything.
Spin-offs for DW 2012 confirmed. Are we reading too much into that?
We're doing four spin-offs next year, with four characters in our universe. One's set with the Valyard.
Have we announced it?
Yes.
Oh. All right.
Oh, okay.
So we have Valyard Dawn of Darkness, we have Scarlet, we have The Adventures of Doctor Who, and we have... What was that last one? Master of the Multiverse.
Ooh.
I was like, I know we announced four, I know there's a few more on the back burner, but we haven't announced those.
Oh my gosh.
Which ones are on the back
burner?
That
is so exciting.
Oh. Yeah. This is tense.
Come on, don't stop.
Oh,
yeah, I've been dying to do it for years, so I'm like, yes, we're doing it.
Well, whenever you've got a big announcement, like you come on air and we'll plaster it out for you, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
That'll be brilliant. That'll be brilliant.
New doctors will come on air and announce new doctors and stuff.
Really?
Ooh, we'll get the press release.
We get a new doctor announcement on here, that would be very cool. That would be very good.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to put a bit of my personal weight on the line here. Can we have a ginger one, please? Can we make up for the problem with the show?
Yeah.
We'll consider.
Crispy's like,
you call that face Crispy? My kind needs representation, okay?
maybe an Australian one, perhaps?
I like that one.
Ooh.
Luke and I are on the same wavelength here, I think. That's very good. Very, very good. No, we're excited, and that all sounds incredibly, incredibly ambitious, and I wish the both of you luck with it, and we'll be along for the journey. As for all, and thanks for having us in an episode. We're in an episode, by the way.
Yes, we are. Very briefly.
Beautiful listeners.
We pop up briefly. Which is my argument to them. I've said at the time. They went, "Do you want to come to the party?" I was like, "I was in it for like a minute." Like, "Yeah, why not?" I was like, "Okay." And then Luke got drunk and told me all the plan. He didn't get drunk. He just told me anyway. He gave it all away. I have a trusting face. Yeah. I can't believe in the last episode Han Solo dies. I was so heartbroken by it.
What?
I know.
What?
Gosh.
Yeah. Crazy.
And when the Doctor does the thing with the thing, I was like, wow, that's really cool.
Oh, that was
about the thing, you know?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That was
the Meg scene.
Well.
Oh, tears.
Yeah.
Spoilers for Christmas.
Yeah. Tears.
Spoilers.
Yeah, part two when Dom turns into a Russian doll and we all just duplicate out of him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that's why I said
that
the Meg
scene, cool.
She's crying. Meg gives a great performance. It's fantastic. Get ready, you know. I'm excited. Yeah. I'm excited. Right, so we have to finish off with a bit of hate because we haven't done it yet. 15 Sonic.
What? A bit of hate?
Oh,
hang on, Troy. We need the news ding.
Oh, we need the news ding. Go on.
If I can get it.
If you can get it. clean up an aisle sonic screwdriver because it's an absolute blummin' mess. So, yeah, today we got the announcement of... no, that was a bit blunt. No, today we got the announcement of Shooty Gatwa's new sonic screwdriver. Official videos, images, all that stuff. We're going to go around the table. What do we all think of the new sonic screwdriver? Should we have, I tell you what, in one word. Let's start with Meg. One word to describe the sonic.
Weird.
Luke.
Diabolical.
My man. Crispy.
Swiss.
And I would say Sky, because it looks like a Sky TV remote.
We've got the top right here. I don't know if you can see. He's the...
And you just disconnected it from the computer in the process. Well done. Yeah, so I have to admit, you know, we are positive about nearly everything in Doctor Who on this podcast, but like the Instagram comments, our opinion, like people do not like this sonic. I mean, it's not a screwdriver. Let's be real here. It's a sonic computer mouse.
I think it looks fine. It looks good.
Yeah,
and like. Obviously, there's a lot of thought that's gone into it and stuff like the whole Gallifreyan and like hidden proverb and stuff like that.
I love that proverb on it, yeah.
Yeah, and like I think there's part of it that kind of comes out as well at the top bit, but like it doesn't look like a Sonic. It's weird because obviously we had like the Sonic shades of like Peter had and stuff like that. It kind of feels like just like a Sonic remote rather than a Sonic screwdriver. It's a bit strange that it goes back to the Sonic, but it does look cool. But you know,
I think Crispy was the most absolutely. Positive out of all of us. So what's your take, Crispy?
Well, I wasn't on board with it until I saw that video with Shooty, and he was explaining the proverb. I can't remember what it is, but it's a Rwandan phrase.
The sharpness
phrase,
of the tongue is stronger than the sharpness of the warrior or something like that.
Yeah, so something like that. And I thought that was very nice. And that's like, you know, basically the Doctor as well, you know, prefers to use words rather than like battle and plays catch sometimes. So, but I think that I just think it's so huge and bulky. But then when I saw they had a recent installation where they like actually brought it out and showed people. Have you seen that? It was like today.
Yeah. Have you seen any footage or photos from it today? I knew it was happening. We mentioned it in the podcast.
Oh, no, I saw, and it can fold up into this teeny tiny little, like it actually is like about the size of a mouse. I don't know. I'm not sold on it yet. I'll have to see how it works in the episode. But I think, I don't know, I was sold on the Sonic Shades pretty quickly, and I thought that was ridiculous at the time. So maybe it will work. Maybe it will be the new norm going forward. But yeah, well, it's not as cylindrical. It's a bit more flat. It looks like they've got a Sonic screwdriver and accidentally stepped on it.
Yeah, like, from Luke's perspective, you might be able to agree. From a collector's perspective, I'm like, I'm going to be buying this thing to add to the collection because I can't not buy a Sonic, but I'm like, I'm not going to enjoy buying it because I don't particularly like it.
Yeah, I mean, I like the colour scheme. The colour scheme's really nice.
Yes.
But I just think a screwdriver is meant to be a tool, and every screwdriver has kind of resembled a screwdriver.
Mm.
Like the Sonic Shades were not a screwdriver, they were shades. The Sonic Cane was a cane. This just feels too different.
Just
a
the
little
name
bit
of it.
Too different. Like, if it was just like a sonic device, like you said, you can get away with it. But because it's being tagged as screwdriver and looks nothing like a screwdriver.
What if he ditched the screwdriver and used the sonic and called it a remote?
Feel a bit better about it. Yeah.
Then I'd be fine. I'd be like, sonic remote? Okay, whatever.
Yeah,
that is such a good point. I feel like
you
the
should
debate
write
wouldn't
Doctor
happen.
Who,
like, oh yeah, Shooty's got a Sonic remote. Yeah, you guys should.
Be less happy with it if he just got rid of the Sonic screwdriver.
Maybe she just used the actual screwdriver that 14 had in Well Beyonder, and then we'd solve all the problems.
That would
just
be
trying
funny.
To get that same that clip from the video, trying to get into a door. He actually just gets a screwdriver out and picks the lock instead.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
I wasn't a fan of 14s. I wasn't a huge fan. I was sort of...
Well, this one.
That one, yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I was like, I'll buy it and see how it feels. I had it for about 3 weeks, and I was like, no, I'm not a fan of Floyd, aren't I?
It's like an anniversary Sonic, isn't it?
Yeah.
It looks good on your shelf, though. I'll say that much. I spotted it almost as soon as you joined.
Yeah.
There it is.
Pride of place. Are you gonna? Maybe you should use it to break it down, make another Sonic out of it. You can make a better one, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to sort of have a little customize. You know, I mean, I've made some like cool Sonics.
Go on, let's see. What have you got?
Oh no!
So I've like this one. I quite like this one. I've done it
okay. I thought, that's orange. Put it with the ginger doctor. What did I tell you?
Orange.
Oh my god.
Orange for the Australian doctor.
Yeah! Hey! Woohoo!
That actually looks really cool. Like, what's that one made out of? That does look really cool.
That's made up with like a lot of character options, with a bit of metal and a bit of everything, and 3D printed parts.
Can you teach us how to do these? I want to be able to make my own Sonic like that. That's dope. I want to do that.
So creative.
I did break his stat name, but never mind. Particularly the fix
that. He did break it.
Did you actually break it?
Oh, no.
You made that and you've broken it.
Yeah, he broke before. Yeah.
Did it? In the same place, or?
No, I dropped it and the end snapped off.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm so sorry.
Wait, does that mean you've used it in filming and we haven't seen it yet?
Oh, no, that's just, like, personal collection.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, oh, secret Sonic reveal?
Sonic's everywhere. Yeah.
I want to be at a point in life where I just casually build Sonic screwdrivers. That would be a point of happiness that I would not be able to...
It's quite interesting to see what works and what doesn't.
Mm.
I do want to get my hands on another 14 and see if I can sort of redesign it.
To make it better.
It'd be exciting. Yeah, it'd be good to see. It would be good to see. So, as we begin to head towards wrapping up, let's have our final thoughts be what are our expectations, hopes, opinions, everything on the Christmas special Church of Ruby Road? What have we all got to say about that? Because actually, by the time, for the context of the audio listener, or for any listener actually, for any platform, the next time Crispy and I record an episode together, the episode will be out. This is our last chance to theorize it, because next week the IRL episode goes out, and then after that it's Christmas Day. So it's going to be a crazy time. So what are we all thinking? What's our hopes, our expectations, our everything?
I don't have any expectation. Like, I'm just glad we've got a Christmas episode.
I don't care. I'm not going to watch it.
I miss watching Doctor Who on Christmas, and I'm just glad to have that back, you know.
I'm with you on that.
The years were fine, but he never hit the spot.
It's like nostalgic, I think.
Yeah.
No, I think it'll be very different, but I think that might have been, it probably feel right, and I think it'll be a good thing, I think. I don't know, I think kind of doing like a new take on it, which is kind of what we're seeing at the moment, like the direction they're going in. I think, yeah, a bit of a refresh, I think it'd be good. I don't really know what I expect. Like, what we saw of Shooty is great, and his doctor seems...
He looks
the part really, really well, so... Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
The trailer does look good.
Watch in a nightclub. Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah. The nightclub, yeah. That felt a bit like It's a Sin-esque, I felt like, looking at that.
Yeah, I got those vibes.
which can only be good. Can we get Ollie Alexander turning up out of nowhere, or Lydia West, just get them to show up? Finally, maybe. The casting rumours were true, they just weren't the Doctor, you know?
No.
I do like to think in my head that he's got like a bit of a checklist for like people from It's a Sin. He's like, right, I've had Neil Patrick Harris, I've had Nathaniel Curtis. Okay, who's next? Who do I bring in next? You know? He's like trying to figure it out.
They'll all get in there. Yeah. They'll all get in there, guarantee.
Well, I can't wait to play a unit soldier in the background.
He's getting his own agent now, he's ready. He's like, right, listen, okay, my fiance managed to get in, so if she can, I want in. Make it happen.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Crispy, what are your hopes? Have you got any hopes, expectations, or are you very much chilling like our guests here?
Well, I'm excited to have Doctor Who back on Boxing Day, because we don't get Doctor Who on Christmas Day here. Yeah, we get it nice and early on Boxing Day, so that's always...
It's a real sucker punch, that, isn't it?
Something. Yeah, well, so for the whole New Year special, it was always like January 2nd for us. So I don't know. It was strange. Yeah.
It doesn't quite have the same ring to it, does it? No.
Doesn't quite have, no. But I'm excited for that. I love Doctor Who going festive, and I think it looks like a proper film. I was really impressed with the goblins that we saw in the trailer. I thought that looks like proper Hollywood production level. So that was exciting. And I'm just keen to see how it all plays out. I'm wondering how much they're going to push it though, because we have this special and then a few months down the line, we'll have series 14. So I'm intrigued as to like how much of a jumping on point this one's going to be, or if they're like, oh, here's a little tease, but the really big push is going to be for season one, much later. So I'm just keen to see how they handle that, how they do that. But I mean, it's more Doctor Who than we've had in the last few years coming up. So I'm just excited to see what the future looks like.
I do hope that we get like the coming soon trailer for the next series. Cause I always miss that bit of Christmas special.
I miss those. Yeah. And not just cast names.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I have one hope for Christmas special, that we get a good bit of 15 in his actual like original outfit. It might be a hot take. I'm not the biggest fan of this Christmas one with the bold trainers and the leather jacket. Like, it looks fine, but like I honestly think his original outfit was so much better. It looked perfect right off the bat, and I was like, oh, that's great, and I want to see that. And we know it's in there. They shared the still of him with the cowboy hat with the outfit on as one of the Christmas special teaser stills on socials. So it's going to be there. I just hope it's for longer than like a minute where he's like, what do you think of the outfit? Roll titles.
Yeah.
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 So
I don't know. I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued. I think, yeah, Shooty's going to have like a million outfits an episode. So
probably
have a lot of figurines to collect, I imagine.
Yeah. Well, they're coming back, by the way. We should have done that for a news thing. The Eagle Moss figure line has actually been confirmed to be coming back from Master Replicas. They're taking over as of next year. So,
oh, there you go.
We might get 14 figurines and all sorts of stuff, you know, who knows?
Cool.
Who knows? But there you go.
I'm intrigued. Troy, are you excited for the Christmas special?
Very. Yes, I think it's going to be good. I'm intrigued by how this Goblin song is going to fit in. The idea of there being a big hyped musical number so far ahead, I'm like, oh, okay, all right.
Tomorrow,
it does. So by the time, actually, yeah. But oh, what did you guys all think of that song? Isn't it great?
Yeah, so catchy.
This goes on Saturday. Pretend you've heard it about 20 times.
I've had it on repeat
like
constantly.
It's like my
Arts of the Year, Murray Gold.
I wasn't expecting Kylie to be on it. That was surprising, though. That was very exciting. That's a bit great, of Kylie Minogue in the song. Yeah,
I thought you'd be more excited about Katy Perry showing up as one of the goblins.
That was completely unexpected, but a welcome surprise.
That bit was great.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And then when the little red doctor came out in the middle of the music video, I was like, what?
Yeah.
But wait,
spoilers,
there's more.
Troy. But wait.
Oh, blimey. Right, well, I think that's a very good point for us to wrap this discussion up. A lot of things we talked about, and some things were interesting, some things we were just wrong, like Crispy saying there's not going to be a 14 spin-off, but we can't all be perfect. But thank you, Luke and Meg, for both coming. Don't even look at me like that, Crispy. Don't even. I'm muting you. I'm going to mute you. This time it's going to work. There we go. All right, he's muted. So, Luke and Meg, you two want to shout yourselves out? Any social medias beyond DW2012 people can follow you on, keep in touch with you, anything like that?
I'm just DW2012, so yeah, there you are.
You are that channel. It is your baby.
It is you.
I have my own socials. Meg_H_S, Megs essentially on Instagram, Twitter. So yeah.
And you knew one.
Go and follow.
Meg was in Doctor Who.
Oh yeah, my other account. Yeah.
you should make that your Twitter name now. Meg was in Doctor Who.
Very good.
I can just see on your face you're considering it now. Do it. Reach his phone.
I was a cosplay of the outfit, and I was like, no, like I'd literally look like the most egotistical person ever.
Cosplay
if I did
yourself.
Cosplay myself.
No. Well, thank you both very much for being on here. Cannot wait to see the second part of Time Crisis. And yeah, if you want to reveal anything on here, you come back on. Maybe what we should do is, I shouldn't say this to Crispy, but what we should do is you arrange it, and then I'll sneak you the link to the Riverside Room, and in the middle of an episode, you can come in and go, by the way, give you a reveal.
We get a live call in.
How
that's
good
so
would
funny.
That be?
I quite like that.
Okay, Crispy,
yeah,
you do not remember that. You didn't hear that. You all right, Crispy? How are you doing?
Huh?
He's going to be on
Sorry,
every single episode now.
Yeah. You zoned out for a second there.
Doctor
Everything
Who?
Okay, mate? You all right?
What is this podcast?
You just
try
to give you a raise.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh, well. Well. Thank you all very much for listening. Crispy, you got to wrap us up. Give us your closing comments.
I think today was sensational. we got to chat to one of my all-time favorite content creators, and Meg's been a Doctor Who. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I'm out.
Okay, let's end this so he doesn't come back soon get any more. Thank you both for coming. Really appreciate it. And thank you all for listening and watching. As I've said before, we will see you all next week in the IRL episode, episode 90, where we talk about all sorts of stuff. It's a last bit, minute bit of 60th hype, so we'll see how well that's aged, because I don't remember what we've said. But there's stories about Crispy's trip to the UK, filming some IRL Doctor Who content that you still haven't seen, so there's more cool stuff to come there. Whole heap of stuff, some Christmas present giving as well. Crispy surprised me with a little gift, which was very cool. There's all sorts of very good stuff, and some convention stories as well. So there's a lot crammed into that. I think actually I do mention us meeting Karen Gillan in that and sharing the picture that we got with her, Meg, which is still one of my favorite con pictures of all of them. I love that photo. I think it's so good. Yeah, so we'll talk all about that next week. So actually it works even better because you'll get mentioned next week. Your ego will be having a great boost.
Oh, I got mentioned like last time, this time.
There you go. There you go. You're gonna expect it every week now. All right, we'll have to make sure we do. We have to meet a Meg quota.
Yeah.
Oh gosh,
it's official now.
Oh gosh.
Put a picture in the background. On there every
time. Sneak you in the edit. Yeah, you just had like next episode number, just your face there. In fact, you did, because she did send me a PNG once of it, because I did see a tiny bit of them filming something at one point. I said that much. I saw them doing a little bit on sex. I was keen to see what they were cooking, and I took a picture of you like lying down with the camera and made it into a PNG. So I might just put that PNG on it. Do you know what? If I remember now, at some point in this episode, I'm going to sneak that PNG on the screen for a couple of seconds and just see it. Like, people have seen it and gone, what the hell? That's it. All right, I'm writing that down now so I don't forget. I'm going to write that down. Crispy, end the episode.
Thank you all very much for listening. You are the best listeners in all of time and space. And as always, Troy will sing us a little song. So this is Troy's Goblin song. Here we go.
No, he will not.
Here we go, everyone. No, you're absolutely right. It's not a Goblin song. It's a Goblin rap. So Troy, hit that beat, Troy.
Not happening. You're the rapping man. Go on, Chris. Speak on.
Yeah, Troy doesn't want to do this for long. Yeah, he doesn't want to sing the Goblin song.
Thank you all for listening to episode 89 of Who's There, a Doctor Who podcast. It is goodbye from Luke and Meg. It's goodbye from Crispy.
See you later.
And it's goodbye from me. We'll see you all next week in episode 90. Until then, Alan Z, baby.
Alan Z, baby.
Give us a catchphrase, you two. Sign it off.
Alan Z, baby.
He just joined in. Perfect. See ya.